And welcome back to another Tom and Shane video. We're here every Tuesday and every Thursday at 10 a.m. Mountain Time. Shane Montalban, half man, half amazing, is in Kamloops, Canada. Tom Eaglehoff, your morning mayor, is in Bozeman, Montana. And, we got quite a topic today, Shane. We're going to be talking about the future of women's sports. It's a hot topic. In fact, they were just talking about it on the news this morning.
Yeah, it's a good topic. I mean, you know, it's one of these exceptional examples of U.S. law that generates a precedent. That was Title IX, as most people know, in 1972. It was a higher education amendments of 1972, recognizing that there shouldn't be any discrimination, and particularly in sports. And then the reason it became fascinating over the years, I mean, we're talking about 50 years, but as it became more and more evident that women, particularly in sports and higher education and universities and colleges, weren't being provided the necessary funds for them to accelerate and even be able to train and compete on a international basis, not necessarily just nationally, but internationally, and of course at the Olympic level. So Title IX, you know, established the right for women professional hockey teams, basketball teams. You know, there was an effort at football, as we know, but now you find today this crossover. And we always talk about the rights of the minority and rules of the majority under your constitutional republic. And now you have an abusive minority, and I say it that way because that's what it is, of these gender males wanting to go out and basically implode women's sports.
All right. Before we get too deep in the weeds here, Shane, there's four definitions that I want to go through real quick.
Sure.
So people aren't confused about what we're talking about today. The first one is cisgender. That describes a person whose gender identity aligns in a traditional sense with the sex assigned to them at birth.
Are you meaning a normal person?
Yeah. Next is gender diverse. This is an umbrella term describing individuals with gender identities and or expressions that vary from expected development norms. This includes people who identify as multiple genders. And then we've got gender identity, a person's inner sense of being a girl or a woman or a boy or a man, some combination of both or something else, including having no gender at all. So it gets pretty confusing. Sexual orientation, this is what's usually used in most states for hiring. Discrimination, can't discriminate on basis of sexual orientation. And that simply describes the types of individuals toward a person has an emotional, physical, or romantic attachment to another person. Now, what we're talking about today, of course, is transgender, and this is an umbrella term describing individuals whose gender identity does not align in the traditional sense with the gender they were assigned at birth. So that kind of clears the air a little bit as to what
you have to expand on transgender because that's principally what we're talking about.
Yeah, that's why we're here.
I know. Yeah. The expansion of transgender is individuals, both male or female, who want to transition to the other man, to the other male, or from male to female, or female to male. You may now, because of the ridiculous, unparalleled success of medicine to change physically or appear to change physically. From male to female or female to male, that doesn't make you a female. It physically on the outside, you might appear that way, but inside you're still a male. Your genome is male. Your body, your muscular structure, your bone structure. I mean, everything's male. So to allow this minority, and it's an abusive minority, all right? This is an abusive minority wanting to go into women's sports or women's culture as a woman, not necessarily having transitioned, just saying, well, I'm a male and I'm on a transgender female. So, you know, I want to use girls' bathrooms and I want to use girls' showers and I want to use their change rooms. Oh, and I want to compete with them. Well, I'm sorry. This is beyond minority rights. This is beyond legitimate understanding. And once again, you know, the Democrats embrace it. So here we go. This is as bad as slavery. This is just as bad as slavery. You're enslaving women to be allowed to be abused by a male who may want to be transitioning to a female. This is really a psychological problem. I mean, and it's expanding quickly. And, you know, it started to basically 3 years ago, 18, 19. And because of the media and the Democratic Party, you know, thinking that, oh, this is another minority that has expendable income. They can contribute to us if we support them and they'll vote for us. It's very sad.
Yeah. Well, the NCAA isn't helping things any at all, because they reported this morning they're going to let individuals sports decide. And, well, what the possible decisions, Shane, I guess that the sports could come up with is, A, they're going to exclude transgender from their particular sport, or they're going to allow a mixture. You're a swimming, for example.
Well, just add another category, you know, just male, female, transgender. Okay. If guys wanting to be women and women want to be guys, want to compete in any sport, okay, third category, all by themselves, do it on your own, and that's great. And if colleges want to fund it or not, fine. If you want to go to court to get funding because of Title IX, then you do it. But right now, we're not going to allow the destruction of women's sports. And the fascinating thing about this is, and I hate to segue, but it's a great analogy, as we've reported, and no one wants to, the city of Chicago now, by the way, has gone over $800 million in settlements for civil right abuses by their police, supposedly, and predicated mostly on settlements and challenging the case. Of that $800 million, black law firms in the Chicago, Illinois area have received over now $290 million of those that $800 in fees. So the reason I'm bringing it up as an example with this is, here we go. Lawyers are getting involved. They'll represent transgenders on civil rights abuse, and the city will get sued. The school will get sued, you know, and this is why everyone is fearful of trying to defend or stop this, because they know if they do, some lawyer will start a civil right action, federal, against whoever is preventing this guy, you know, who wants to transgender from competing. And the way you do it is you solve the problem. Separate category.
Well, they're not going to do that. There's no way they're going to do that. So, I mean, that's not going to happen.
Well, it's absurd. Yeah. And that shows you the absurdity of where we're at now as a first world country. Yeah. As a first world country, we don't even know how to separate toenails. I mean, you know, you have two toenails or two little toenails. They're not the same. They're separate. Okay. And you're not going to cut one off one side and, you know, sew it on the other, you know, and this is sort of how ridiculous this is.
Yeah. Well, it's getting to that point. What I see happening, Shane, down the road is that you have these college coaches, and of course they're paid to win, and they're paid to field a team that wins. And if they're a women's soccer team, or if they're a women's volleyball team, or baseball, or softball, or whatever the hell they play, eventually you're going to have an entire team of transsexuals, you know, because otherwise you can't beat the other schools that also have transsexuals, and what you're going to have is women who legitimately can compete will be completely shut out because they can't qualify against the transgender males that are on this team. And
well, what I was thinking too, because you gotta try and figure out where this is going, right? That's what you and I like talking about and giving.
Well, that's what I'm predicting. That's where it's gonna go.
So my prediction is professional sports. I can't wait until some male in basketball or football or even hockey or whatever professional sport, soccer, decides I'm a transgender and transgens or whatever to a woman, right? So, you know, now he's a woman, you know, he bought all the body parts, but he wants to stay playing, you know, on his team. That'll be great. I mean, what a story that's going to be. I mean, everyone's going to want to follow it. You know, they'll write books about the guy and this is beyond ridiculous. It's redunculous, as we used to say in high school about things. It's redunculous.
Yeah. Well, there's plenty of pro athletes who are gay. You know, I mean, that's
well, yeah, that normal. Happened. Yeah. That happened 10 years ago or whatever, right?
Well, yeah. Well, whatever. Whenever.
Like it was always talked about, but up until, you know, 2010, you know, that, oh, there's got to be gay people in sports, men.
Yeah.
You know, and then it sort of, then all of a sudden there was a football, that was an ex-NFL player that did it first. Mm-hmm. He wasn't in. And then a couple in came out and to 10 years ago. And, yeah. You know, so, you know, but wait till they want to transition. Wait till they want to play on the court with, you know, the twins, you know, bouncing around and everybody
Well, they're still going to wear the same uniform. So
that's what I'm saying. You know, now yeah. do they get a special uniform? Do they have to, you know, or is a sports bra going to be enough?
Nope. They're going to have to. Nope. Well, that'd be interesting to see. But
yeah, it'd be really interesting. Yeah.
Well, it is pretty ridiculous. You know, and the fact that people are going along with it, this is another example of the emperor has no clothes. You know, well, yes, he does. You know,
absolutely.
Because we say he does. So that's exactly what we're looking at here is you know, a group of people that see an advantage. You know, the men who can't make it on the men's team, well, hey, let's transition over the women's team and I'll dominate. I'll get gold medals. And, you know, we're talking about the weightlifter in the Olympics who changed genders after winning as a male in college and other, you know, other sports competitions. And so what do you do on the Olympic level? Hang on. We've seen for years East European women who were, you know, pretty interesting looking people. So, you know, I mean, that was a long time ago. That was back in the Olga Corbett days, or, you know, you could go back to the 60s or 70s. And here's these monster European women, you know, competing.
Clearly doping. Yeah.
Clearly doing something. Yeah. So,
that's a great point for you to make. For anyone to transition, they have to clearly dope. You know, for a man to grow a woman's breast, they clearly have to take medication to do so. And vice versa for women to change and reduce their breasts to become a male. So, I mean, under the guidelines established and the protocol established, as you said, from the 70s and 80s of doping, none of these people would qualify in sports. Mm-hmm. The other thing I'd like to make an example of how redunculous this is equine eventing is the only sport recognized globally that men and women compete equally. And that's horse eventing, you know, where you have separate, you know, you have stadium jumping, and, you know, and then you have the longer jumping and dressage. Mm-hmm. So men and women compete equally in that sport. It's a dangerous sport. It's the most dangerous sport in the year. More people die, more men and women die every year in that sport than any other sport. So there are exceptions. the reason I'm bringing it up, because it is an exception where they compete equally. So, you know, if as I said, the easy answer to this, and people should start demonstrating and demanding laws be taken, particularly, you know, in federal laws, that this be an exception under Title IX and qualify as another group. Just that's it. You know, you want to compete with one another. You want to compete as a man with other women. If other women want to compete with you in the third group, you know, but no one is. No one's going to. And that solves the problem. If you want to go to court and sue over it, I can't see any court, ignoring the science on this one, that a guy thinking he's a gal and getting fixed somehow isn't, you know, doesn't have an advantage. The science is very clear that he does. So it's a great topic because it wraps up everything. And I'm, you know, I think everyone's tired. They're exhausted of talking about COVID and the science on COVID. You know, yeah. So this is great. Let's talk science about something else.
Yeah. Well, as I say, if you make a separate class, you're going to run into discrimination. So they're not going to do that. That might be a simple way to solve the problem.
But how is it discriminating?
Huh? Well, they're discriminating. Because the only transgenders would be allowed, and they'd have to prove they're transgenders to get in. They'd have to prove how much testosterone they're taking for how long, or estrogen, or whatever the, you know, whatever the medical thing is.
They have that right now in sports. But
they're not going to allow, they're not going to, colleges and high schools and whatever aren't going to fund more teams. There's not, they don't have the money to do it.
And I agree with that. And I understand that too. But I don't see where there's discrimination. If you acknowledge that a transgender male and female want to be in sports, and you qualify them as another group of sports, in cross country or gymnastics or wrestling, whatever they want to do, if they want to do any of those sports, and then they compete with, you know, other people. In other words, transgender women to men and transgender men to women compete with each other. That's what, you know, like females compete with females, males compete with males, transgenders compete with each other. I mean, that's the grouping.
Well, the issue is that women aren't transitioning into men's sports. It's going the other direction.
I appreciate that. You're going to principally have men, you know, that transitioning to women competing with each other.
So you just have another men's team. So
that's right. And you go around but
you're discriminating because you're preventing a person who thinks they are a woman from competing against males.
Well, and that's fine. So you go through the process that Title IX forced, and it took like 30 years, all right, for women to do exactly that. So why shouldn't transgenders have to do the same thing women did? They had to go through the process to set the protocol, to set the precedent that schools and governments would fund them equally with males so they could compete follow the same. You shouldn't be able to jump in front of the line. Okay, that's not what happens in our Unitarian governments, you know, in our countries. And our minorities are all welcome. Their rights are all want to be recognized. But if you want a benefit for that right, if you think you're entitled to a benefit, not just the right, but a benefit. Now we're talking about a benefit, not a right. So you recognize them first, put them in their own group. That's recognition. Now you want funding. Okay, do what women had to do. Do, you know, like everyone else. Go through the court system. You know, if you don't have the money or people are, you know, if you're not going to find some far left, you know, legal group or pack, you know, political pack that's going to back you and help you, then you've got a problem that, you know.
Well, the school can't force, the courts can't force a school to fund a team. I mean, it can't.
No. The government can't, but the government can fund it. That's how Title IX happened, is that the government started funding. And then it went to court, because it took 7 years to go through the courts, and, you know, and there are several cases, and, you know, ultimately what happened is exactly what we're talking about. It became such a overwhelming topic that the alumni at the university are the ones that broke it down. Mm-hmm. It was because of the funds that they provide to universities. And we talked about it, like, you know, the fund that Harvard's got is $23 billion, you know, anyway, long story short, states, you know, they started saying, well, we'll fund it. The alumni said, we'll fund women's sports, you know, on campus. And ultimately that's how it came up. I mean, that's how it came about. It just took time.
I don't see that happening. And as announced this morning, the NCAA is going to leave it up to the individual sports. And what they're going to do, and you can quote me on this one, what they're going to do is they're going to allow a mixture of transgender and women competing side by side against other transgender and women.
That's what I'm saying. That's what my solution is.
Exactly. You want a separate entity.
No, I didn't say that.
Yeah, you did.
Men will compete against men like they do now. Women will compete against women.
No, that's not what I'm talking about. You have a combination.
I know what you're talking about.
Well, okay. Well, I'll clear it up for the listeners who are listening to me, okay? Because you obviously don't get it.
Okay.
What you're going to have, if you have a women's swim team, let's say, for example, and you got four competing, you know, it's a relay. The final lap is going to be swum by a transgender. The first three are going to be swum by women who are women. And the last one, the kicker, the best swimmer, is going to be the male who's going to hop in there, you know, as a transgender. And that's what you're going to see from the NCAA. And eventually you're going to see all transgenders and women are going to be shut out.
Well, the reason that, see, I disagree with you, and that's why the NAACP or whatever, the college over, what is it, the NCAA?
Yeah.
The reason they're leaving the system locally is to avoid liability. So they don't want to make a national decision because there's no laws about it federally or statewide yet. And instead of setting guidelines, which they should do because that's the reason they exist, they're going to leave it up to locales to do it because they don't want the liability. So because they're not doing it nationally, they can't be sued. And if some local person that's a transgender, the team says, no, we're not. You can, if you want to swim, you know, go to. You can use the pool after the guys and gals are done and swim against any other transgenders. That's what I'm saying. And, you know, and if they want to sue the school or the school board or the city, you know, come on, let's go at this. Let's do this. But, you know, as in Chicago, like I was saying about civil rights abuse, you know, the threat of the liability becomes a problem because the city may roll over and then in your case, allow them to be that last swimmer on the team. But then you got another problem. If your parents and you sit down and go, well, you know, we're going to move to another city, another locale where this isn't happening. And, you know, you're a great swimmer and you're a great diver, or, you know, in sports where there's competition, it's different than in sports where it's not a team event. You know, this is where the hardship comes. You know, if you're putting in the hours every day like these people do to become Olympic stars, which, you know, they start at very young ages, and you're doing 3-4 hours a day, which what they do, you know, going for an hour, hour and a half in the morning before school and then 2 or 3 hours after school. You know, if like diving, for example, that, you know, the parents may decide, well, for you, because we think you have the potential to be an Olympic champion, we'll move somewhere where this isn't an issue. So you know, now you have that other issue coming about, too. So all these things are in play, which is why this is a great subject, because we should come back to it, you know, every 6 months, 9 months. And see where it's moving, right? This is going to be a running target for a long time.
Well, the lawsuits have already started. I mean, there's lawsuits in several states where female athletes are suing. Because they're being discriminated against, quite honestly.
That's right, by this abusive minority and you know, if I was a parent, had the means, I'd sue the kid's family. You know,
I'm talking about kids' families.
If a family is going to let their kid transgender before they're 18, you know, they're liable. If they're going to insist he can go into my daughter's locker room, no, I'm going to go get an injunction against that.
Well, that's already a law. That's already happened. I mean, that's already done. That's done.
Yes, because it's done.
I'm just saying it's done. It's over. You know, I mean, the bathroom situation.
No, that's only in one state. That felt. You know, they politically that's what they had to do.
No, I don't think so.
You don't have that law in Montana.
Yeah, well, in Bozeman we do. The city council passed it.
Oh, so a teenager.
Bathrooms are open season, man. Bathrooms are open season.
Well, that's sick, Tom.
That's sick. You know, but that's the media. Or that's the woke place we live in today's society. I mean, you know, they're afraid if you don't allow this, that you're discriminating against people because, you know, they have no choice in their gender and, you know,
I don't see the discrimination. How are you discriminating?
Well, if you don't allow them to use the bathroom they want to use, you're discriminating against them.
How are you discriminating against them?
You're forcing them to use a bathroom that doesn't jive with their
So if that's your argument, then let me comment. If that's your argument, you went through this in the 60s where you had men, women, and was it black bathrooms or non-white? If the sign said non-white, right? Yeah. Non-white?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay, so you have
the same thing.
Okay, fine. So here's how you solve it. In schools, you have boy, girl, transgender.
No, please.
Wait a second.
Please.
I'm sorry. No, they're not the same. A transgender boy wanting to be a girl is not the same as a girl. Not the same.
Yeah. Well, sorry. You got all.
So you agree? So you're saying you agree with it? Then you're defending it.
Agree with what?
That transgender boys should be allowed to go into a girl's bathroom. You're saying you agree?
No, I'm not defending it at all. I'm just saying it's a fact of life, and the woke society has agreed to it. And that's where we stand right now, you know.
Well, yeah, it's a process.
Well, in Loudoun County, a girl was assaulted in a women's bathroom by a transgender, and now the FBI is getting involved as to why they allowed this transgender into that bathroom to begin with. And I would say that hang on. Let me finish, will you please? Jeez.
Yeah, but you don't tell the entire story. Are you talking about the kid that sexually abused the girl? They didn't tell anyone. They threw him out of the school, sent him to another school, and he did it again. Is that the one you're talking about?
That's the one I'm talking about.
Okay, thank you. I just think you should give the context to people listening.
If you would let me, I would have.
No, I'm not here to let you, because we only talk for like 10, 20 minutes. So,
well, we're past 20 minutes already. So,
all right.
You're slowing the process. So, not
good.
All right. But anyway, the issue was that the school went along with this, and the FBI is now getting involved because there was no prosecution. There was no charges were brought, or nobody's in jail. Nobody's been
That's not true. The father went to the school board meeting and got arrested because
that's what I'm saying. That they didn't do anything.
Nobody got in
They didn't do
it. Yeah, they did. They arrested the father from bringing it up at the school board.
That's the point.
Oh, I see.
See that you don't seem to get.
Okay.
That there was no action at all. Now the father got arrested, big deal. So, why shouldn't he complain, you know? Hey.
Well, of course, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So, but you know, if a transgender wanted to assault a girl, you know, you don't have to, they could do it anywhere. They could do it in a bathroom, whether a transgender or not. So, but it's the assault that is the question. It's not whether it was done by a transgender. So, but because they had the bathroom rule, transgender was where they shouldn't have been.
That's right. And this becomes in itself the problem. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think that right is right, and it hopefully will write itself out. Mm-hmm. It may take time, but between the legal aspect and the political aspect of laws in this regard, you know, you'll find that that's the case, especially, you know, when you talk about the sociology of this, you know, let us not forget the fact that it's pretty evident sexual abusers, mostly male, as we know, they do not change. You know, there's very few successes of redemption and being able to overcome sexual abuse as a male once you've committed it. You know, it's like a serial killer. You know, once it's, you know, like, you know, once you've killed somebody and not gotten caught, it's, and then, as they say, once you've killed three, you're a serial killer. You know, you'd like to, wow, that's pretty scary. They only have to kill three people to become, well, yeah, I don't want anyone to sexually abuse three women to become an abuser. It shouldn't happen, happen once.
Yeah.
And if it does, that's the only time it should happen. So hiding behind this veil of transgenderism is a horrific thing. It's really bad.
Well, it is. And, you know, as I say, I think it's going to get worse before it gets better. You know, which is why we thought we would talk about it a little bit today to enlighten some folks to, you know, think about this, talk about it, whatever. But it's so obviously wrong. You know, it's, as I said earlier, it's the emperor has no clothes kind of thing. And
this came out of years in my generation. You know, the baby boomers are the ones that created this minority. And you and I both know this. You remember back in the 60s into the 70s, people started talking about, gee, gay people. How many gay people are there? Yeah. You know, and then sociologists and psychologists started, you know, investigating and studying, and universities started funding, you know, programs for them to do it. And then the numbers started coming out in the late 70s or early 80s. Oh, it's like 6-7%. And then by the end of the 80s, it's 10%. And then people started, you know, saying this and that, and I'm gay. And, you know, all of a sudden, oh, I'm not just gay, I'm lesbian. And, you know, it's the LGBTQ and, you know, the minority kept growing and growing. Now, you know, as we've talked about today, you know, they've come up with, there's 120 different variations of what you could be sexually, you know. The point is this arrived in our generation because all of us at some point, because of what the science started out with, was thought about this. You know, people are heterosexual, and then it really was some people thought about a bisexual relationship or experience or, you know, test or whatever, or they got into one, right? You know, like, it, you know, and the first argument was back in the 60s and 70s was, you're in self-denial if you never thought about, you know, a gay experience, right? You're denying that you never thought about it. Well, I'm not sure that's true. Maybe, but I think it had more to do with pornography and the 21st century, ability of communicating, and certainly social networking into the 90s and 2000 or 80s and 90s, were porn, because porn and gambling were the ultimate winners of social networking, as you know, right? We've talked about it. So, yeah. Men have always had a fascination of, a fantasy of menage a trois, as the French call it, sleeping with two women. But there was always this, but if you're doing that, are those two women because they're involved with you? Yeah, maybe that makes them lesbians. You know what I mean? Like, so all these conversations are crossovers and mixtures of where do we go from here? Well, we're here now. Right?
We are here, but unfortunately, the transgender community is on the winning side at the moment. And I don't think so.
I think they got a long way to go.
How can you not agree with that? Because they're allowing it now.
Because I have a right to, for one thing. For one thing, I have a right to. But number two, this is only a topic because media is talking about it. If they didn't talk about it,
it's happening. Yeah. That's why media is talking about it. It's happening in every state in the union, and the very fact that the NCAA wants to wash their hands of it tells you that this is going to continue and it's going to escalate to the point where women are going to be totally shut out of sports.
Well, I don't think that the NCAA want to wash their hands of it. I think it's very clear.
Well, they're passing it off. They're passing it off to the individual sport.
They're passing off the liability, not the...
Okay. So that means, hey, we know this is going to happen, so we're not going to be involved in it. Hang on. Stop interrupting me.
It's my job to.
No, it isn't. Your job is to let me talk and you talk. That's what it's supposed to be. So the NCAA is passing it off to the individual sports and let them handle the lawsuits and all this expense and everything. We'll sit back and when the dust finally clears and it's either women have the right without transgenders or it's all transgenders, then we'll jump back in and we'll make the regulations. And that's where it's going to. That's where it's going to end.
No, it's not going to end there. Again, abusive minority. They're taking the wonderful idea of minorities' rights. Like I said, rule of majority. Rights of the minority. They're taking this wonderful concept in our Unitarian government that we live in, the first world privilege of minorities, and abusing it. And it's wrong. It's clearly wrong. It's morally wrong. It's ethically wrong. Science backing it, academia backing it, all wrong. You saw the professor, in the last month that came out about child abuse. What is it called? Where adults abuse children. Help me with the word. Can't think of
pedophilia.
Yeah, thank you. And tried to redefine pedophilia where it's acceptable. It's okay to have this craving. It's okay for an adult to want to abuse a child. I sit at my computer and listen to the news behind me. And when the first time I heard it, like 5 weeks ago, the interview, and the guy was on behind me, I thought it was a woman. Okay, am I being, racist? No. And then I turned around and it's a guy with a bun on his hair or on his head. Come on. How far do you think minority rights have to go to allow not everything is acceptable, okay? Now, secular people think everything's acceptable. And libertarians apparently think everything's acceptable, but some people don't, and they're minorities too. Now their minority's bigger, like the right minority is like 34% of the people in both our countries. The liberal left minority is, you know, bigger, 34.6%. But when you got off the scale minority of transgender that represent, you know, I don't want to throw a number out, I'd be guessing, but, you know, 0.001%, you know, I'm sorry. No, you know, there's, it's like the guy, did you see this guy from Google? You know, one of the billionaires at Google has a podcast and is asked about the Olympics and whether we should participate or not because of the Uyghurs, right?
Uyghurs. Yeah.
Thank you. The Uyghurs. And the guy goes, oh, in my life, you know, it's like below this line in my life of importance. Excuse me? These people are in labor camps, 2 million now, in our lifetime. 2 million in labor camps. They're harvesting
we're off the
their organs.
We're off the
topic. No. This is the same topic.
No, it isn't.
When things become too acceptable, that are immoral, that are wrong, and you know they're wrong, you got to stand up and say, this is wrong.
Well,
this is wrong. So there
people,
you go.
People are, but the NCAA says we don't care. We don't care if it's wrong.
Sick. Whether it is or not,
that's their position. So
that's because they all make, you know, that's
the end of, that's where it is at the end of the day. So
yeah, and they'll still get their $200,000 a year salaries and bonuses and benefits.
Absolutely. And well deserved, of course. So
well deserved, yeah, sure. They've done so much for themselves, you know. It's right. You know. Anyway, it's a fascinating subject, and as I said, it's just starting up. I mean, it's taken 2-3 years for it really to catch some steam, but now we're here. So we'll see. We should follow this up every 6 months.
Well, we'll find out. Hey, if you're just joining us, don't forget, hit the subscribe button. It's down in the lower right-hand corner or down below the video. Ring the notification bell. You'll always be notified when we have another podcast. We're here every Tuesday and Thursday at 10 a.m. And we're brought to you by StreamYard. They are great. They put on this show. It's so simple. Even I can do it. So that should tell you something about how easy it is. And if you'd like to support the show, hey, Shane and I'd be happy to give you business advice and all of that for free. Well, not for free, but if you support us, we'll certainly do our best to keep you in money. And, hey, we want to thank you for watching. And Tom and Shane, as I say, we're here every Thursday, so we're happy to be here with you. So thanks for your participation. Thanks for the comments. And we'll see you. Oh, by the way, shoot, I forgot. We're on the radio, Shane.
That's right. All.
Yeah, we're on the radio this Saturday. So if you read the crawl, Tom and Shane are live on radio every Saturday, 8 to 11, Mountain Time. You can listen to us anywhere in the world. KMMSAM.com. KMMSAM.com. Click listen now. There's no sign up, no email, no personal information needed. All you got to do is click listen now. That's how easy it is. So we hope and you can call us, you can text us, you can rake us over the coals, whatever you want to do. So it's pretty much fun. So we'll hear you on the radio on Saturday, and we'll see with another award-winning podcast. Well, they're not award-winning yet, but who knows? Maybe this one will be. So thanks, Shane. Thanks for being here, man. I appreciate it very much. Thanks for the conversation. And we'll see you next Tuesday.